listening to Inclusive AF with Jackie Clayton and Katie Van Horn.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's Friday and it's clear and sunny out. So, you know, it's like a miracle day over here. I don't know what to even think.
Well, it's raining and Donald Trump is coming tomorrow. So, I mean, take that information and do with it what you will.
Here in opposite land. Okay.
It's this- a world famous regional airport in Waco, because. And welcome to the Inclusive AF podcast.
Yes, indeed. So we are revving up for Work Human. Jackie, I know you're excited. We get to go to San Diego for a few days and see some amazing speakers. And we happen to have one of those amazing speakers joining us today. So Eric Bailey is here. And Eric, I will go ahead and turn it over to you to do a little intro and then we'll jump right in.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I am a unique kind of speaker. I spent a bulk of my career listening to terrible speakers and systematically decided what I was going to do differently. And so I'm born into the idea that trying to change someone's behavior is usually a futile experience unless you understand what is motivating them to exhibit that behavior. So I dove deep into the world of brain science, which is psychology, neuroscience, linguistics, anthropology, etc., and try to understand people in a more complete way. And what I realized is that when I did that, I stopped being as frustrated with people. When people exhibit behaviors I don't understand, it's not like, oh, there's something wrong with them. It's like, oh, that makes sense. And from that point on, it's like, oh, there's actually something here I can teach the world. And that's what I get to do.
Awesome. Very cool.
I love that.
And you're another Arizonian. Is that what we are? We're Arizonian.
I think it's
Arizonans. Arizona. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So we live in Arizona.
Desert rat also works.
Yes, absolutely. We are. Sometimes it's a desert. It hasn't been a desert recently. We're now like in a swamp or something. I don't know what's happening. So Eric, you are going to be speaking at Work Human. And first off, I want to ask, what drew you to Work Human? What got you inspired to join kind of the crew of Work Human?
Yeah. So interestingly, a buddy of mine, Brooke Hamilton, she works with me on occasion, and it must have been like 5 years ago. She said, I'm going to this HR conference. I'm so excited for it. There's like 5,000 people. It's the most amazing experience. And I'm like, how have I never heard of this? I call myself a recovering HR guy. Like I served my time in HR. And like, how have I never heard of this conference? And so I looked it up, and coincidentally, there was a call for speakers. And so I'm like, oh, I'll put in for that, sure. And I got a spot. This is back in 2018. And I spoke there. It was in Nashville. It was a wonderful experience. Oh, no, maybe 2019. And I loved it. Met some amazing people. And it was just amazing. I remember talking with the speaker coordinator, and she said, you know, getting on stage at Work Human is harder than getting into Harvard. So
that's right. Yes.
And so I was super excited about it, and had a great experience. And coincidentally, my book was launching at the exact same time that I was speaking at Work Human. So that was a really cool experience for me as well. But I did that. I was asked to come back the following year, which was of course 2020. It was scheduled to be in Austin. I was so excited for it. And then, you know, the whole world decided to turn upside down. And then came back, spoke last year, and then I'll be speaking again this year. So I'm like a bad fruitcake. Once you got me, you can't get rid of me.
That's awesome. Well, I don't know that they would feel the same way, because I know I have seen you speak. I saw you speak last year at Work Human. I've seen you speak outside of that. And I think anyone that's able to attend your session while we are in San Diego highly, highly encourage you to do that, because I think you drop some truth bombs across all of your talks, which I love. So you mentioned your book. Tell us a little bit about your book.
Yeah, so it's a book for our times. It's called The Cure for Stupidity, Using Brain Science to Explain Irrational Behavior. And I wrote the book because I saw so many times in my personal life, in my professional life, how we misunderstand each other. And when we misunderstand each other, our first reaction is to judge each other's character. So I'll judge you as unintelligent. I'll judge you as a bad person. I'll judge you as this or that or this or that, just because we see the world differently. And all of that is predictable based in brain science. If you understand brain science, you can say, oh, that is why they do this. And so I wrote up over the course of my career, 22 principles, what I call the principles of human understanding. And as I would, you know, do a workshop or do a session, I would, you know, give maybe three or four of the principles. And people are like, I want all 22. And like, well, that would take us like 3 weeks, so we don't have time for it. But I started to develop this book. I'm like, oh, I can do all 22 of the principles if I write this book. And so that's what was the genesis of the book. And then coincidentally, as I wrote the book, the entire world fell apart. I mean, people are at each other's throats. People are, you know, writing off neighbors that they've known for 30 years just because they put the wrong political sign in the front yard. We see family members splitting up. We see, you know, people arguing at work, and don't get me started on the government, right? We're more fractured and divided than we ever have been. And this book is really a pathway to healing, all of that. And that's what I want to do for the world.
I feel like that just ties me into the type of work that Katie and I do a lot when we're talking in diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And I will never forget, like, understanding things is different, or what different cultures may have given up within the United States. And mm-hmm. if this is the only thing you think you have, you know, how would you feel? Like, it's one thing to think, oh, I'm smarter, but it's another thing to think, like, this is equity. It's the only equity that I have that you're trying to take away from me. So imagine you're down to your last dollar and you're fighting me for it. Mm-hmm. Would you just give it up because I said, you know, I don't have a dollar? Like, oh, I'll give you 50. No, you wouldn't, right?
Yeah. And the idea that there is infinitely more experience and context around a person than we can ever comprehend. We cannot comprehend all that somebody else has gone through that's influencing their behavior right now.
That's right.
And when we open that up to the possibility that someone is acting exactly rationally based on the environment they see themselves in, It changed the way we can interact with them.
You are so right. I know people know my mom passed away like 3 weeks ago. Oh, and someone said, I know you're busy, but if you could just call me back. And I was like, you have no idea.
No, nope. You don't know.
No idea. You just think I'm rude. And that's fine. Like, okay. I'm not responding, but you're right. You know, there's so many pieces, and I love that, you know, I'm reading the Myth of Normal, which is the same, like, yes. Process where it's like, we think this is the way it's supposed to be. We only view it through our own eyes, and we think that's the way that it's supposed to be, to the point where there are times where you even view yourself as not normal, even though this feels perfectly normal behavior mm-hmm. to you.
Well, the weird thing about that is, you know, there's a whole push on the idea of getting rid of normal and average from education, because it's leading students to have lower self-esteem and lower confidence, which leads to poorer performance. But because we use data and statistics, we say, oh, here's what the average person would do. Well, no one is exactly that. There is no one person that is exactly average, which means that everyone else is comparing themselves against some unachievable perfect. And that is not the best way to motivate folks, right? It could be wonderful for understanding, you know, large groups of society, macroeconomics, et cetera. But if the average student is getting this, then I'm not normal. And when you spend life not being normal, we all understand not being normal, not or being an other, that puts a completely different psychological pressure on us. And there's a lot of work that we can do in our society to really help folks really, you know, feel included, feel that they belong in the world that we are collectively creating.
You might be surprised to know that not all serial killers are straight, cisgender white men. And the victims of true crime are not a monolith either. She's Wendy and I'm Beth. And together we host Fruit Loop's Serial Killers of Color, a true crime podcast.
Together we take deep dives into the true crime stories about marginalized and minoritized perps and victims that often go untold.
We also provide the context and nuance that these stories deserve. At Fruit Loops, we're serving up true crime with a side of history, society, culture, and some fun.
Listen to Fruit Loop Serial Killers of Color on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's funny. I think my kids, it's the opposite. Like, I think my son got his first 98 ever. And he's like, basically, I'm brilliant. Like, I think he's going to quit college. I think he's like, I'm too smart for anyone here. I don't know how we did that, but our kids are exactly the opposite. We're like, oh, sorry, you lost the game. They're like, wait, did you see me? Did you see me though? So, you know, maybe they'll have a party your second, but they can.
No, there's one of my dear friends, Simon Bailey, no relation. We call each other cousin, but he has a bunch of research that children are operating at the genius level until they're about 4 or 5 years old, and then it starts to taper off because the world beats it out of them. And you, I mean, you think about like you know, a kid in a grocery store. You see them; they're gonna be staring at you and like, wow, like trying to look, take in all of your amazingness. But as adults, we're like, I'm not making eye contact with another person, right? Because we lose that complete, authentic, wholehearted living. Because the world's kind of beaten it out of us. And it's like, oh, what would the world look like, right? If we could see the world through children's eyes. Like, I know we failed, but did you see me? Like, I was great.
That's right. Right. Think about that.
Well, and I think that also kind of just it drills into the curiosity piece that so many of us lose. And that is, you know, part of that beating down, which is, you know, it makes sense that the smartness level or whatever you want to call it does kind of decline because you lose that curiosity. But right. You're also making me think about like HR reviews when you get that meets expectations and you're like, cool, thanks. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that actually do for you? Not one thing.
Right. 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 Oh, I'm inspired. Let me keep being average for you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, and then what happens is that we get these wonderful leaders that want to motivate people. So it's like, instead of the three meets expectations, now it's like, okay, now I'm going to give you a four now. And now everyone is exceeding expectations. And it's like, well, now everyone's there. Now that's new normal. And it's like, well, now just a four. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm going to give you a five. And now everyone's getting five. It's like this whole thing because we're constantly comparing ourselves against everybody else. It's like, ah.
Yes. Never ending cycle of fun. It's good times. So who are you most looking forward to seeing in San Diego at Work Human?
Cy Wakeman, we have been doing this for the last probably 6 years. I remember right after I launched my book on Amazon, you know, it says other people bought this book. And so it was always my book next to her book. And it was wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, we've spoken to Work Human at the same time. We spoke at Inbound, which is a conference, sales conference in Boston. We've spoken in Maine. We've spoken in Georgia. Literally, we've spoken at the same conference probably 15 times and never met. We've never met. And so last time.
Wait, seriously?
Seriously, we've never met.
I mean, I met.
Yeah, Eric, we need to talk. As soon as we get to San Diego on the 17th, we're going to go talk to Cy. Okay.
Yeah, we'll hook that up.
I mean, it's so funny. Like in Atlanta last time, we were like this close to meeting, but something happened in her room. And so she had to leave really quickly. And so we're supposed to meet, and like she left right before I got there. So I'm looking forward to meeting Sai.
That's awesome. Yeah, we did. Jackie and I were kind of looking at the agenda yesterday and picking who we want. And I one of the things, and I don't know if you all feel the same way, but I love that it is the tracks that they have and that you can kind of follow a specific track. But then there's also the cool, but I also want to go to that person and, you know, and like you said, kind of at the same time, oh, these two people are talking. I want to see both of them. How do we make that happen? So, it's fun. But when are you actually speaking? What day are you speaking?
So I actually have two sessions. So I'm doing so last year I did my session called Holy Shift. Make sure you enunciate. Completely changing the conversation on diversity, equity, inclusion, and privilege. And it was just, the engagement was so high in the session. We didn't have enough time to really explore everything that everyone wanted to. And so Work Human actually asked me this year if I would do an expanded workshop kind of as a part two to that. So I'll be doing that one on Wednesday, and then I have a regular session on Tuesday, and that one is how and when did that become normal? Kind of exploring the brain science of social norms, and it's a fun session because I mean we go into things like, why do you walk into an elevator and immediately turn around and face the door? Right. And so we'll have some fun with that. But I've done that before, and you hear people after my session, they'll actually intentionally go and stand backwards in an elevator and just see what other people do. It's so fun. It's so fascinating. But like, there's these social norms that we've created, and then we just kind of all agree that this is what we're supposed to do. And sometimes like, why is that a normal? Like, think about, okay, it's when you close your eyes and imagine a birthday party hat, right? Why is it a triangle? Why is it a cone? Why is everyone?
I've been wondering, wait, but like, why do we even sing happy birthday?
Why do we
sing? No one likes singing happy birthday, and no one likes being sung happy birthday too.
And if you understand music, the song is a really sad, like the chords are depressing. It's like, happy birthday to you, right? It's a very depressing song, but we sing it like happy, like, okay. But yeah, there's these norms that we just all get on board with, and the same thing's happening at work, right? And so anyway, really fun session. So that'll be on Tuesday. And then the deep dive to the brain science of diversity, equity, inclusion, which you do not need to have seen the first part to really dive into it. That'll be on Wednesday.
I love that. And I do love that you talk about the social norms. And then I think I'll be excited to see that because I live in Texas and there are Texan norms that don't make any sense anywhere in the world. And I would, if I had extra time, I would study people in line. Because of the same, you know, the fairness and how the tension starts building and how people get really angry, like, you're not supposed to do that. And you're like, I'm just trying to throw away this bottle. And they're like, pretending in front of me. I think I need to read your book before I go to Disneyland the next time. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. And even the one thing that I notice is that if someone leaves too much space in line, how everyone behind them gets really upset. And it's like, hold on, right. We're still in line. If I'm
not going anywhere.
Forward.
Listen, this lady tried to take these two people out. The people were trying to pick up their prescriptions and they had carts in the line. And the woman, I don't know, needed shampoo really bad. There was about to be a full riot in the grocery store last week. Fascinating.
Eric, can you study the phenomenon of anyone being in the boarding gate that is on like the last boarding group that stands at the very front of the gate? Can you explain that one to me, please? Can you put that in your next book?
That'll be in the next book. It's so funny. Watching human behavior is so fascinating to me. Like, and I love that people will stand right there and then people will just kind of queue in behind them. and then they don't move, but people are on their phones, and so they don't realize that the line's not moving, that they're waiting behind. It's like if a car breaks down and they have their flashers on in the turn lane, and they get a huge line of cars behind them because people just look and they see a turn signal. They don't see that the car is broken down. They don't, anyway. So it's people have fascinating behaviors, and I love watching that because it unlocks so much about all other aspects of life. It's like, you know, how we interact at work, how we interact at home, how we interact on Facebook, how we interact right in random in the grocery store. And human behavior is fascinating, and the more we try to understand it, the more we realize we don't understand anything.
Absolutely. I think the other one, and I just had this happen yesterday because I was at that baseball game I mentioned. We're standing in line, and the one that I always love, and I know I do it myself, so this is not a judgment, but like when you're with someone and they get like super fired up about it, and you're like, really? Like, especially travel. Like travel, I'm like, you know, hey, nothing is going to go right, and you just have to kind of accept that and be like, cool. We're sitting here for another hour. All right, awesome.
We're doing great. This now,
let's get my candle out, you know, or whatever. But the response of getting fired up or getting angry, like that is the other one that cracks me up, because it is it's okay, calm down.
Like, right.
We're all here together.
Yeah. And it's interesting because a lot of times there's like two or three other things that's kind of feeding that emotion. And especially when we start talking about diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, there are certain words and phrases that cause that fire up. And that's where I spend as much time as possible. I want, you know, come to me. I was talking with a gentleman a couple years ago, and I was talking about systemic racism. And he said, systemic racism is a figment of your imagination. And he was so mad. And, you know, because his emotion sparked my emotion, and I wanted to get all upset and prove how dumb he was. And I said, hold on. All right, let me just take a breath. There might be something going on in his world that I can't comprehend. What if I got curious? And so instead of proving to him how wrong he was, which is my natural reaction, I said, what do you hear? What are you hearing when I say the phrase systemic racism? And he's like, oh, I'm glad you asked. And he was still really angry. And he said, you know, I hear that everything in the United States is racist, and it's all racist in its founding and its institutions, and that people of color cannot be successful. And da, 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 da. I'm like, whoa, that makes sense. If that were my definition, I would probably say it's a figment of your imagination as well. So thank you so much for sharing. And he's like, I was really expecting you to fight me on that, so I don't exactly know what to do right now. But it's like, we realized we were using the same words, but talking about different things. Mm-hmm. And that only was able to come out because he expressed his strong emotions and I didn't match it. And that opened up this really powerful dialogue. And even still to this day, we still talk quite a bit. And he'll say, hey, Eric, you know, as a young Black man, how do you feel about this news? And I'm like, this is how I feel about it. And he has access to an experience he can't otherwise have. And I'll say, you know, I'm not going to say his name, but hey, as an old white dude, how do you feel about this? And he'll explain it, and he'll give me insight to something I can't know, I can't experience. And that's the power of really doing this work in understanding human behavior, because there is so much out there for us to know that we can't know otherwise.
I love that you said that. That was literally like the first two conversations me and Katie had. We met at Work Human, and one day I said, Katie, I need to ask you a question. And she said, okay. And I said, why do white women? And she said, stop. Do you want me to speak on behalf of all white women? And I said, yes. And I will continue with the question. So then, like, flash forward a week later, she was like, okay, so why do Black people? And I was like, oh, all Black people? She's like, yes. So then we were having these conversations. Like, we knew we were teasing in that.
Right, right, right.
But what you bring up is something that I've had to explain to people of color when they start working at my company. So I'm the VP of Talent Acquisition and Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and Belonging for Textio. And we had a new exec, and Katie is actually facilitating the Racial Healing Handbook for the executives at Textio. And I forgot to tell her that it was a meeting. And I was like, oh, well, come to the class. Her family's from the Philippines and have a farm in the Philippines. She lives in Brooklyn. It's her first, we're on the fourth chapter. It's her first time to meet with everybody. And there's a white woman talking about her own like internal racism that she was raised with. And she, her eyes were like this big. Like she felt like I'm in the wrong room. So I had like, okay, this is going to feel really weird. And I have to explain it to a lot of people once they join the organization of, okay, you're going to be very tense. There's meetings where you're used to being, you know, othered or told to be quiet or belittled. And when it doesn't happen, it's that same response that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. There's all this like pent up adrenaline because you're paying ready for a fight. Yeah. And then when it doesn't happen, you can't even listen because you that has to stop.
Yeah.
Before you can move on. And so I really relate to what you were saying about the person that came in just like really upset. And then when you were like, I ain't even mad at you. And he's like, okay, I need a minute. Cause like all of this adrenaline is still there, but I don't want to fight you now. So I have to kind of calm it down. Yeah. You know, I think about that also in driving with people. Like, so, when I had my son, he's 20 now, but when I had him, when I got to the hospital, we found out I was 10 centimeters dilated and fully effaced. But while we were driving, I was like moaning. My husband had to cut off. He kept going into the left turn lane and then going straight through the line, and people would catch up and start yelling at us. And I have never been upset at a driver ever, ever since. Because right. I'm like,
you don't know. We don't know.
No idea.
You're going through. Yep.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.
You didn't know that poor Todd was getting screamed at.
Listen, and no, I kept saying, listen, I'll tell him at the next window, because I was pregnant up to here, and I'd roll down the window and I'd go,
it's
like
happening.
Not one word. I'm like, they're like,
contraction.
Happening? And I'm like, we should have filmed it. It would have been a really, you know, I don't know, would have been a bad show.
Awesome. Well, Eric, we are very excited to see you speak and the workshop. I'll be there for sure. I'm actually, so there's, I know, Jackie, that you want to go to another one that's happening, I just looked to double check the Black Men in Tech. I know you want to go to that session. And so don't worry, it's not the same time. So Eric, we'll be in the front row if you need us, you know, if you need to tag in, just let us know. and we'll go from there. Last words on why someone should go to WorkHuman.
Oh my gosh. So as I mentioned before, recovering HR guy, I've sat through so many terrible, 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 terrible presentations over the course of my career. And WorkHuman has this wonderful ability to cultivate the best, not necessarily like the best, like, quote unquote, speakers, but the best content, the best energy, the best delivery. And you walk out of every session that you go to like, that was awesome. You know, any other HR conference, any one of the speakers, any one of the sessions would have been the best session at a conference. And so, and the energy and the camaraderie is second to none. I've, you know, going down to WorkHuman Central and just hanging out with all these folks that are really here based on their own curiosity that they want to grow, they want to develop, they want to connect. It's a wonderful environment. So I'm really glad that it's ramping back up again after the pandemic. The numbers are going up. I'm really looking forward to. I'll be there the whole week, having a bunch of fun, and I'll be in the front row for the general sessions. You know me, Katie. I'll be there. But it's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely, Jackie. What are you most looking forward to, and why should someone attend?
The food. Now listen.
No,
I know that sounds out of control. Nobody, we were literally listening to a jazz band and I don't even remember. Yes. It was like, there wasn't that many people there because we had just had like ice cream and pretzels. And then before that had like taco bars. Like there's more food and it's like the best food and it's all day.
Yeah.
And it's snacks and treats and breakfast. Like, so even if you just really like food, you're getting more than your value's worth at any ticket price. I promise, or I will give you your money back.
That is not where I expected you to go, but I
know
you wholeheartedly. Right.
Full of surprises, right. Full of surprises today.
So for me, I think it's kind of a little bit of what Eric, you're saying, the content and just that network. And it's not like it's not networking. It truly is like coming together as a group of individuals, yeah, and learning from each other, having really good conversations. And I also love, and I know I talk about this all the time, the way that they localize what they're doing as well. So, you know, we'll be in San Diego and normally when they have their recognition bar, there's, you know, very localized charities that they're giving to. They have vendors that are there that are from the, you know, from San Diego. Obviously last year, you know, it was Atlanta and we got to see some really cool stuff from local artists, local artisans. And so I think that's part of it as well. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. Every single session that you attend, you come out and you're like, that was the best session. And then you go to the next one, you're like, that was the best session. And it's like all day long, you just learn and grow throughout the day and it's awesome. So, that's the part that I also love. So we will see you, Eric, in, it's like 3 weeks.
A couple
now,
weeks, right? Yeah.
I know.
So soon. Yeah, it's going quickly this year already, but we'll see you in a few weeks. Looking forward to hearing your talk. And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. This is Katie Van Horn.
And this is Jackie Clayton.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Imagine how fast we could solve the world's biggest problems if more SaaS startups would gain traction sooner. Welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. This podcast is dedicated to sharing experiences from B2B SaaS CEOs who are going above and beyond to deliver change that is noticed. You will hear their secrets and learn what is required to build a SaaS business that the world starts talking about and keeps talking about, and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.